everyone. Welcome to the Chica Travel Podcast. And for those who are listening for the first time, my name is Lela B. This podcast is the ultimate stop for everything you need to know to turn your trips into amazing experiences. So welcome, welcome, welcome. This week on the show, I am joined by Dineo Zonke Maduna, and we are talking all about her home province, Mpumalanga. I'm so, so excited for you guys to hear this because I took a different approach and I kind of asked her to share, you know, her suggested itineraries for different types of travelers. So open your notes app and be ready because she is going to be sharing such amazing info. I hope you will enjoy this conversation. You know what? In my head, I want to stop saying conversations because I realize that I use that word quite a lot on this intro. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you do, please show Dineo some love on her social media at Dineo_Zonke. Here's the chat. Enjoy. Hello, Dineo. Welcome to the Chica Travel Podcast.
Hi, Lelo. Thanks so much for having me.
Finally, you made it.
Yes, finally. I've been wanting to be a part of it. Thank you.
I know. I've also been wanting to have you. I mean, since, you know, you did your 30 countries before turning 30, I think we have been talking about having you on the podcast. But how are you doing? I see you busy traveling all over Mpumalanga. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, I've been trying to just see a bit more of the province over the last few months. But yeah, it's been great. I'm great. Yeah.
Haven't you seen all of it by now?
No, there's still like, there's so much to see. And I still have like a list that's always growing. So yeah, I think, I don't know how long it will take me, but I mean, I use, you know, my spare time and weekends wisely to just, yeah, explore.
So are you working now 9 to 5 or is this your thing, travel?
Yes, I am. I am. I actually went back to work. When was it? In June last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a job in June last year. So now I'm working 9 to 5 during the week. And yeah, but what I like about it, it's a bit flexible. So, and I mean, because of the current pandemic and, you know, the situation that we're in, I've been able to work from home. And
thank goodness.
Yeah, I guess working from home sometimes means working from a hotel room, which is awesome. Yeah.
I think that's the best thing about working from home, that we could travel but still be able to do work, right? I think that's the best thing. So you are so obsessed with travel. I love your obsession with travel. When was the the first trip you ever went on? What was that trip? And what was the trip that made you fall in love with travel?
Ooh, okay. I can't think that far back, but I know I started traveling mainly with my parents. So with my parents and my sisters. So we'd travel a lot during, like, let's say, once a year, we'd just make sure we either travel within the province or the country, or go abroad. And I think one of the trips that I really enjoyed most with my family was going to Namibia. But I can't even remember what year this was, but I may have been probably about like 7, 8 years old. And it was very nice because we had, it was a road trip from here in Mpumalanga. So we all got in one of those big, what is it, like a combi type of vibe. And then drove all the way to Namibia, making stops along the way. And I really enjoyed it. I think I liked it a lot because I think that's where my sense of kind of adventure came in, because when we were there, we had a flat tire. It was very, very, I mean, Namibia is always like very, very hot. So it was extremely hot and one of our tires burst. So we were standing on the side of the road for, I don't know, I think like 2-3 hours waiting for the people from our hotel to come assist us so that we can just, you know, be able to get to the hotel because we hadn't arrived yet. But I think even in that situation, being, you know, in the blazing hot sun and you know, as siblings, we kind of get on each other's nerves at times. So it wasn't the most pleasant, you know, few hours of our trip, but I enjoyed it because I think I saw then that anything can happen on a trip, and it's all about just, you know, making it work. And also not, basically, we didn't make that situation ruin, you know, our whole trip, because the thing is, yeah, we the tire burst and stuff, and we were still able to then fix that and continue with our trip. So yeah, it's, yeah, I think that's where I think my love for travel, or yeah, one of the trips that I remember as a child.
That is amazing. Yeah. And I think the fact that it was your parents that actually, you know, inserted that love for travel is even more special. So you loved travel so, so much that you decided one day that I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to make sure that I have traveled to 30 countries before I turn 30. And you were backpacking throughout that experience. So tell me about that decision.
Yeah, so basically what happened, it's funny because the 30 countries before 30 only came in after I had quit my job and started traveling, because I started to basically, yeah, so it's not something, you know, as, you know, for years and years was something I wanted to do. It just so happened that because of the roots, because when I quit my job in 2018, then I went to Central and South America to backpack. So I realized then that with the time frame, so with the year that I'd be traveling, I realized that I'd be seeing, you know, I think, I traveled to, I think 12 countries during that period. So I realized then that, the countries that I'd been to, I think I was on 19 or something. So I realized that I can actually make 30 countries 30. Before 30. Yeah. So then that became my mission. And obviously that's also, I needed to decide how long I stay in each country to make it work, because even though it was a year of traveling, so I left in September and my birthday is in April. So I had to reach those, you know, that goal before the year was over, if that makes sense, because I would have then turned 30, and I wanted to reach that goal. So yeah, so in March, so it took me from September until March, to then, yeah, March 2019, yeah, to then cover that, you know, all those 11 countries. And yeah, when I then crossed the border from, it was Costa Rica to Panama. Yeah. And Panama was my 30th country.
Sure. Yeah. That was really amazing. I mean, to see, and you went from all sorts of places, and you have quite a lot of information on your website. So I'm going to encourage people to just go into your blog to just read all about, you know, the decision to travel to Central America, because you did say that Central and South America, that the reason why you chose those places, you looked at, you know, what was cheap and what would be cheap for you, especially because you were
backpacking. Exactly. Wow. I can't wait to be sponsored. Please, if you're listening, it's time. But I was not sponsored at all. So I basically, I used all my savings, most of them. So I used my savings to, you know, travel to Central and South America. And, it was a crazy experience. I think, it was crazy because it was also so affordable. It's always, cause I think, Asia and, you know, Central and South America for backpacking especially are, the most, affordable regions to travel in. Affordable in a sense that, I mean, yes, the flight from South Africa to there is the main part of, you know, the cost. Mm-hmm. But then once you set foot there, accommodation is very affordable. Accommodation can be, I think, the cheapest, that I paid for accommodation was about 50 something rand per night. And it was literally like a very comfortable, very nice place. It's actually a hotel group, called Selina. So they have quite a lot of, you know, accommodation along Central and South America. And I think also in Spain, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's mainly within that region. It's, if you've backpacked before, or if you will, you will hear of this, hotel group, which is quite mm-hmm. popular, and a lot of backpackers stay in these places. And it's a very nice place. Like the, you know, the hotels are very nice. They're quite, the designs are quite cool. Like one place I liked was the reception was, it basically have you know those what is it, those old VW beach buggy type of cars.
Yes.
So the reception, yeah, the counter had that car. You know what I mean? So it was such a, yeah, it looked very nice and creative. So yeah, I really liked those kind of places. But yeah, other than, you know, accommodation, I try to make sure that I'm staying close to where the activities are, so that, of course, you know, I don't need to stay in the luxury places, but I'm close to the activities. So I'm cutting costs, with accommodation, but at least I can be able to then, you know, do the activities I want to do, in the various areas where I am.
Yeah. Look, you know, I think if there's one thing in Ngikhalelayo, it's that, to just go and travel the world like that. But yeah, you know, some of us chose to have kids, so.
Yeah, I know. Through I'm sorry. Guys. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't be able to do it. Or, you know, I think my priorities would have been different if I did have children or had someone that, you know, was dependent on me. Yeah. So I think also making this decision to travel to 30 countries and just leave everything and go, it was something that, I needed to do something crazy, it was in my 20s.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Crazy and beautiful.
I think, yeah, I was like, I want to do something crazy. And I mean, I do want to travel. So I'm not going to think about the long run, how I'm going to be able to afford things. Cause it's not that I was making an income while I was traveling. I simply was traveling. So I'd wake up to just chill on the beach, or like, you know, explore places, go on tours and stuff. So
And you may not have been making money through that period, you know, but I mean, it was such an amazing experience that I'm sure you would not trade for anything. What would you
say
was the biggest takeaway from that experience?
I think it taught me a lot about myself, like what I can tolerate as a person and just who I am as a person. Because, I mean, there are times where I would want to, you know, let's say I had to like deprive myself of certain luxuries because I knew that it's going to cost, you know, it's going to cost a bit more. And let's say a meal somewhere, let's say I'm going to a restaurant having lunch, and lunch would be like 250 Rand. And I'm thinking that 250 Rand could actually, you know, I could spend two more nights somewhere else and rather have street food than, you know, having that one meal. Is it really worth it? Am I trying to eat to, yes, of course, we want to enjoy the food, and street food is, I think it is, tasty and delicious, depending on obviously where you are, but I've had good experiences with it. And I think I had to just, trade a few things, in order for me to make that work. So I think, it really taught me to just appreciate the small things in life, firstly, and also just learn, more about myself in terms of the things that I know that I may want, but I can live without.
Yeah.
So,
beautiful. Then, I think, I was also impressed by, you know, how concise and comprehensive everything, you know, all the information that you put on your blog about that experience. So I think for everyone who's interested, you know, please go check out Dineo's website. She even has a list of what are the clothing items that she packed.
Yeah.
This particular trip. So that was really awesome. I think for anyone, you know, thinking of embarking on something like that, you really gave good tips for them. So before we move on, because I'm excited to talk to you about Mpumalanga, one last question. So Jessica Nabongo, you know her, catch me if you can, right? So she did a whole, all these countries. Are you looking at doing something like that?
Not necessarily. I think, I mean, of course I'd want to travel to a lot of countries, but I'm not really, I think right now, I'm at a point where I'm not really looking to travel to, you know, making a goal to travel to every single country in the world. So I'm not about that, because there also still are other countries that I'd like to go back to. I mean, even with, you know, Central and South America, there are countries that I could only spend, I think, for instance, it was Belize. I spent about a week there, and I know I'd want to go back to discover so much more in the country. So, yeah, I don't think I'm looking to, you know, travel to every country in the world. But I mean, of course, I still want to see a lot of other countries.
Yeah. And I guess also to actually spend quite a bit of time, you know, in that particular country and explore. Okay. Mpumalanga, your favorite,
favorite destination in South Africa, because it's your home.
Yes, it is.
So when we move on to SA, though, you know, a lot of South Africans will say, South African tourism, well, tourism in South Africa is super expensive for us as South Africans. It's made for you know, international tourists. What is your view on that?
I'd have to agree to a certain extent, because I do feel like traveling within South Africa is, you know, expensive compared to the other countries that I've been able to travel to, because I firstly feel that the accommodations just generally on the higher end of things. So your average South African can't necessarily afford, you know, let's say 500 rand for accommodation. And of course, that's maybe on the cheaper side for the working class and people that can actually afford that. But someone who's getting paid per month, I think, you know, let's say 3,000 rand or something, cannot then afford to, you know, use that a big chunk of their salary for accommodation for a night somewhere else. So it is expensive. And I also think that, the public transport system in the country is it's not designed to help us explore the country, in a sense that, yes, there are, you know, taxis or buses or Ubers or whatever, but the buses will only take you, you know, for instance, I'm in Nelspruit now. It will take me to Johannesburg Central, but from there, then you need to use another means of transport and stuff. And those costs add up a lot. And I think, it is more on the expensive side. So I would have to agree that, you know, I think the tourism industry, there's more that they can do to try make it, accessible for South Africans to be able to travel in, because right now, it is mainly for internationals, because they simply are the ones that can afford, you know, these things.
Okay. Got you. So, Why do you love Mpumalanga so much? I know, besides the fact that it's your home, what do you love the most about it as a travel destination?
I think I like the fact that it's like an adventurous type of destination. I mean, I really like being outside. I like you know, hiking or seeing natural type of sights. So I like the fact that there are a lot of waterfalls to you know, to hike to, or not even to hike to just walk to, because they're accessible, in that way. And I like that it's scenic. There's a lot of viewpoints that just, routes, you know, that leave you in awe, because it's simply just, you can't believe your eyes. It's simply just that beautiful. So yeah, I like that about it.
So when are they making you a tourism? Oh, have they made you a tourism ambassador then?
No, they haven't. I don't know.
Honestly, they are sleeping, because nobody has ever sold Mpumalanga. I've never seen anybody sell Mpumalanga the way you do. Like, honestly, they should be paying you for all the work that you're doing for that province. Absolutely should.
Yeah. That's a conversation for another day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I am, you know, a lot of people are interested in Mpumalanga, and for the reasons that you've just mentioned now, you know, how beautiful it is, how scenic it is, and the waterfalls. I mean, the waterfalls, when I see the pictures that you put there, I'm like, oh my God, this is all in South Africa. We don't need to go to Vic Falls or wherever else to see such beautiful things. So I would like you to help my listeners with some itineraries. Né? So there are different types of people that listen to this podcast. So I'm just thinking for someone who wants to go to Mpumalanga, but they are the type of traveler who enjoys relaxation, luxury, and they want to take beautiful pictures for Instagram. What would you suggest for this person to go? Let's say I have a weekend that I want to go to Mpumalanga. Let's say about 3 days. What would you suggest I do?
Okay, so let's say for about like a weekend, I think, in terms of, accommodation, mm-hmm. firstly, I actually just discovered, this very nice place called Serenity Forest Lodge. So it actually looks like, you need to Google it. So please do, find it, but it looks like, it reminds me of like Bali in a way, in a sense that they have those, it's along a lake, so, and they have, it's, you know, along, a river. So there's a lot of water. And then it's also got those bamboo type of houses. So it's made out of like bamboo. It's like wooden. So it's honestly very, very beautiful. I still haven't got a chance to visit and I want to go so bad. So that's something nice. It's a bit on the high end, price wise. I mean, high meaning, I think per night, it's roughly about like 4,000 rand or so for two people. So it's not too pricey, but I mean, it's still not the most, cheapest. So that's something that I suggest they do. And that place, Serenity Forest Lodge is based in,
Malelane.
It's in Malelane. Yes, it's in Malelane. You know it.
No, I'm on Google now, girl. I didn't know about this.
Oh,
it looks stunning. Yeah. I'm on Google. Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Oh. So, that's a nice place. And there they also have a spa. So of course, if you're here for, you know, relaxation and just, you know, maybe a vacation type of vibe or just, you know, wanting to relax. I'd suggest that. And there's a spa where you can have a massage on the one day and it's close to the Kruger National Park. So you could do a game drive. There are a lot of game drives that you can, you know, they'll pick you up. You don't need to be in the Kruger Park. You don't need to sleep there, rather. So they'll pick you up, in your hotel and then you go there for the day. And with that, you've seen, you know, you've relaxed because that's the main, you know, that was the main aim of your trip. But then you've also at least seen some type of activities, which is the Kruger Park. Of course, it's one of the, biggest attractions or biggest tourist, you know, place in the province. So I'd think that would be a good place.
It is really stunning. And, you know, I'm actually looking at, you know, I'm checking for dates for this coming weekend.
No!
Prices, it's like 1,000, it starts from 1,000. There's a suite that goes for 1.9 per night. And there's another one that the luxury forest, whatever suite goes for 2.6. So it's not as expensive. And I think it's affordable.
Oh, yeah.
It looks stunning.
Okay.
Though,
and it's not as expensive as I thought. Yeah. It is very stunning. It looks stunning. Other than that, as you know, an option for accommodation, I'd say there's actually quite a nice place here in Nelspruit. Actually, it's called Christie's at 32 on Russell. I like it because it reminds me of like I'm in some type of exotic island, but it's literally in the middle of the city. And it's got a few pools. I think the way that the pool is kind of designed, is really, really, I don't know. It's nice for Instagram photos. It's beautiful. Yes. I like it. And they also have, I mean, the accommodation, the rooms are stunning as well. I felt like I was a little princess, you know, being there. It was really nice.
Is this right in the middle of Nelspruit? The Christie's?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Christie's at 32 on Russell. It's right in the middle of Nelspruit.
Wow.
So that's lovely. Nice. Yeah.
That's the one where you did your famous bath shot, right? With your legs up in the
air. Yes. Yes, that's the one.
Stunning. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. So I think we've given our luxury travelers a lot of options for them to explore. And then for someone who enjoys, like who's an adventurer, backpacker, who really wants to get busy and active and doesn't want to chill at the pool, what would you suggest for them?
Okay. I would firstly suggest, staying in Graskop or Hazelview. I think if you're staying in those two towns, because it's close to the panorama routes and a lot of the attractions, that would, you know, it's ideal to be able to wake up and, you know, do the activities that you want to do. Mm-hmm. So I would say that in terms of accommodation, even though they may not be interested in the pool, I still think the panorama chalets in Kraskop is very nice. The thing is, the accommodation itself is quite basic, very basic. But the pool is very, very stunning. It's overlooking the Kraskop Gorge. So there where there's the Kraskop Gorge lift with the bungee jumping or zip lining. Uh-huh. So it's overlooking that area, and the pool itself is stunning. But mm-hmm. the accommodation is quite basic. I think per night it's roughly like 300 rand or 400 rand. Wow. So that's on the cheaper side of things. And yeah, I'd say staying there would be an option.
Okay. And you know, I just remembered someone, because I think it was when I posted your pictures or something, someone said to me, yeah, I've been to this place. I think you were at this, you know, at that pool that you're talking about mm-hmm. now. I said, nah, I was there. The pool is lovely, but the accommodation is basic.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what you are saying, that it's a place that's ideal for someone who's not really about the type of accommodation, but they really just want to be close to all those, you know, activities that are done in that area.
Exactly. Cause I mean, from that area, you can literally, go to the Kraskop Gorge lift, where you can do, the big swing and go down the, Kraskop Gorge lift, and zip line. That's literally next door. So it takes you not even 5 minutes to get to. So it's a very central, you know, place in that sense. And also, if you looking to explore, the Three Rondavels and the Blade River Canyon, that's also not too far. I think it's about an hour or 45 minutes drive from from Kraskop.
Yes.
And yeah, and also, I mean, if you are looking for adventure, there's also quad biking and paintballing and river rafting in Hazelview at GZ Adventures. So yeah, I think staying in Kraskop and staying in the panorama chalets, you'd kind of get, you know, everything that you need within your reach. And also, it's affordable. So it could make for a good, holiday, you know.
Would you suggest it for someone who's also traveling with kids? Would you think it would be awesome for those people as well? Cause then there's quite a lot to do.
Yes, true. I think if you're staying, it depends on what, how old your kids are, firstly. But I do think that staying in a place like that would be good, because it also offers, you can, you're able to make your own food. So it's self-catering, but there's a restaurant there. So you can also then do that, have breakfast or have your meals at the restaurant if you don't feel like cooking. But I also feel that the space it's an open space, and, there's enough. What am I trying to say? Like, the property is big enough for children to play outside. So yeah, I think it would be a good option for children as well.
Okay.
If you try children, yes.
So there are some people who say, you know, ish imali ayiko, we really just want the experience. But budget travelers, what do you suggest? I mean, some of the stuff that you've mentioned now, those are things that budget travelers, and even the place that you suggested now, the panorama chalets, those are places that budget travelers could stay at. Any other, additional, you know, advice or tips or that you would give to someone who says, I'm a budget traveler and I want to experience Mpumalanga?
I'd say that, firstly, if you're a budget traveler, try to travel in groups. That will always help you with your budget to not use a lot. But I also think here in the province, in terms of accommodation, firstly, in terms of activities that, you're not trying to spend, budget-friendly activities, I'd say that quite a few of the places within along the panorama routes are actually budget friendly, because to go, like, a lot of entrance fees are roughly like let's say 20 Rand, 30 Rand. I think the most expensive would be the potholes, and the potholes entrance fee is about 85 Rand. So, that's the most expensive, but it's still not too expensive. So I'd firstly say, as a budget traveler, try do those activities that are, you know, the entrance fee is low, but also do the activities that are free to do, like hiking, like, you know, just exploring places that, you'll still have a feel of the province. You'll still be able to see, you know, the beauty of it if you, do free activities, yeah, that just require you to walk and to explore.
And then, Janelle, these waterfalls that you've been on.
So there are a few, there are a lot. There's actually quite a few in the along the panorama route. So, okay, let's start in Sabi. So in Sabi, there is Lone Creek Falls. It's one of the most popular and also most accessible falls. Although the, okay, I'm not sure about now, but I haven't been there in a while, but the road leading up to there, is not as, they need to basically, fix it because it's, there's a lot of potholes. It's not the best road to travel, you know, to travel on, but at least the stretch is not too long leading up to the waterfalls. And you can manage to get there with a small car, you know, I drive a small car and, you know, I can manage to get there just fine. But those waterfalls are beautiful. Well, that waterfall is beautiful because, firstly, from the parking lot to get there, it's roughly, you walk not even about 5 minutes to get to the face of the waterfall.
So thank goodness, no hiking.
No hiking at all. And you don't, you know, some people walk with slops. Some people, you know, you don't need to necessarily have a full hiking gear on and have water, you know, but you can just walk. It's a simple walk and you can do that easily with children. That's one of the popular falls. So I really like, Lone Creek Falls, which is in Sabi, and then between Sabi and Graskop, there is Forest Falls, and this is also, you can either hike there, the hike there is about 4 kilometers, or you can actually drive and just park your car right by the waterfall. So that's a very nice waterfall that I like. But my favorite waterfall in the province is Lisbon Falls. So Lisbon Falls is in Graskop. It's literally about, I think, 5 kilometers away from the town, like the center of the town. And most people usually see Lisbon Falls from the top because from the parking lot, you see it from the top. But you can actually hike down, and if quite a few people are doing it now. You can actually hike down to the face of the waterfall, and that hike is about 4 kilometers, 4 or 5 kilometers. So it's not too bad. Yeah, it's not bad, but yeah, it's you do need to have comfortable shoes on, and you know, just be prepared that you're going to hike because it's not a flat surface. It's actually you know, going down to the waterfall. It's quite a steep hill going down,
and then you must come back up again.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I think but
once you're there, it's honestly very worth it. I mean, you can spend the whole day there, and you can even have like a little picnic there. And it's, the thing is, because a lot of people don't really know how to hike there or haven't tried to hike there, rather. It doesn't get as busy as the other waterfalls. So it's nice that all the times that I've been there, there's been, let's say, an average of about like 8 people, 10 people there. Wow. So it doesn't get full at all. And well, yeah, when I was there and yeah, it's magnificent. It's actually the, biggest waterfall in the province. So it's about 94 meters. It's spectacular. So I would suggest, you know, if you want to do any waterfall in the province, Lisbon do that Falls. One. Yeah. Lisbon Falls would be one that I would recommend.
The other day you were asking people on Twitter to share pictures of waterfalls. And I was like, yo, I don't know. I've never been. So maybe I literally don't. I remembered when I saw you post that. I was like, I don't have a picture. Sorry. I can't participate. So I need to go to Lisbon Falls then.
Yes, please, please, please do that.
And the nice thing about it is you actually plan travel for people, but we'll talk about that towards the end. So I just want to know then, as someone who enjoys travel so much and has been to so many different places and so on, what for you makes the perfect trip?
I think the perfect trip would make going to a place where there's activities to do. So I'm not a person that likes to go on to a resort to sit there for a week. You know, I can't go to a place and stay in a room. And even though the room is beautiful and the resort itself is beautiful, I want to go out, you know, I want to go out and actually see the place that I am. And seeing the place means interacting with the people that live there. And also just trying out the local type of food in a sense that going to the cheapest places, so not going to the restaurant that's recommended, you know, on TripAdvisor or whatever, but just asking, being like, oh, I actually want to, you know, I'm hungry. Where would you eat? So, cause I usually ask the people, you know, whoever locals. I interact with the locals, where would they go? Then I go to where the locals go. And yeah, so I think what makes a trip perfect for me would be being busy on a trip.
I can see that. I mean, that comes through from your content that you love adventure. And I was shocked, by the way, when you did the thing, this Drakensberg, that hike.
Oh,
I was like, oh my God, you are on another level. So what advice would you give to someone who's never traveled before? So a first time traveler, and they're interested in exploring South Africa. What would be a few tips that you would give to someone like that? They don't know where to start.
I think if you don't know where to start, it's always better to start with the area that you live in. So start to what's closest to you. Because if it's something that you obviously haven't done before and you don't want to be spending so much money going to the furthest place, but finding out when you're there that, you know, traveling may not be a thing for you. So I would suggest that you try with basically explore your backyard, and also in terms of research and finding out what places are available. Social media has become, I don't know, like my go-to place, in a sense that I'll look for either hashtags of a certain area or a certain activity within the province, and then, or within the country, sorry, and then I will then see what's available. Or I'll also then follow, the tourism boards or people that actually live in the area, or different types of hotels. People will pin the location of where they are, and then you can be able to then see their page and see where they have been, and you know what type of activities are available, and and then start with that. But and I'd say start small and start within your means, especially within your means. From there then expand, and but nothing stopping you, of course, from going to a place that you've always wanted to go. But if you're looking to do it on a regular basis, and not try go crazy and spend a lot of money, start with
start local.
What's reachable to you. Start local, start with what's within your budget, and and always ask for information. I mean, just ask for information. The information's already there on the internet. People are already there. Nothing stopping you from asking. And the worst someone can say is no or not respond. But I would just say, just start.
I like that, And one of the most important thing that you also mentioned, which is also a key thing for travel, is the fact that people share where they are, and that's how we get to discover places. But what I don't understand is when people don't want to disclose the locations, they don't want to share where they are, because I don't know what the reason is. But the thing is, you are hogging that information. You don't want to share it with people, but you saw it from somewhere or from someone. So
exactly.
Is it not all about, sharing so that people can also go and experience those places? it's so weird. And
but I think with that, like, as much as I hear you and I also agree to a certain extent, is that it depends on what, like, how you're using social media and, you know, what type of life you're trying to live. Because some people are, you know, private about certain things and, you know, they're entitled to that. But then if you are a person that's trying to promote travel and encourage people to do that, it wouldn't make sense to then not disclose information that is going to help the next person to be able to do it on their own.
Okay, yeah. I hear you. So do you think us travel content creators should be encouraging people to travel now during COVID? What's your view on that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And yeah, I know I'm still encouraging people. I think that, well, firstly, we just all need to be responsible about it. Be responsible in a sense that as much as we are traveling, I'm going to speak for myself because I think that's the only perspective I know right now. Yeah. I've been traveling, yes. And I travel mostly by myself. I think in the past, few weeks now, the past weekends, I've been traveling by myself. So there is that I'm alone. So whether I am at home or somewhere else, I'm mostly by myself. And yes, there are interactions with, of course, that wherever I stop to do certain things or at the hotel, at the reception. But I mean, that interaction would be similar to me going to, somewhere, to buy whatever essentials I need or grocery or whatever. So, what I'm trying to say is that the pool of people that I'm interacting with is the same that I would do on a regular basis. So there's that. So, as content creators do need to be responsible in that way. And also the activities that I do, are mostly outdoors. So, it's better to be outdoors and, be in a small group of people. Cause when I do my hikes and I do things, I'm either alone or like with a group of like about four people or so, or maybe let's say six people on, And I think that's, it's still a small group and the interaction's still small. So if something, if something were to happen, like someone getting COVID or stuff, then we know that these are the people that we were with. Then we know who to tell. We're able to get the information across, faster than if it were a large group. But yeah, I feel that, content creators right now, I think we should always encourage people to travel, and because I think that the tourism industry does need us. They need us to help them to get people to them. So if we're not doing it, how will they, yes, I know that they have their own ways of getting, what is this, like customers and people in and stuff, but they need all the help they can get. So I don't, I'm not discouraging any content creators to stop encouraging people to travel, because we need to help each other and help the country be in a better position than what we are right now. But obviously, having said everything, we should try to just do it responsibly
I guess always include that element of safety and how people can keep safe while they're traveling. That makes perfect sense. So this whole travel content creation, travel influencer thing, it seems like, you know, there's so many of these kind of people popping up everywhere, lots of people wanting to get into it. What is your advice to someone who say, I want to be a travel influencer or I want to be a travel content creator? So also, do you call yourself a travel influencer?
I don't like the word influencer.
Yeah.
But I also, you know what I think? I really see myself as a person that genuinely just liked traveling, like for the longest time. And then I obviously started, putting up information and stuff on all my photos and, on social media and that caught on. And obviously, then with that catching on, I had to then, find ways of sharing more information. So making it, yes, of course, they're my experiences, but putting the information out there in a way that someone else can look at it and can clearly see that this is the place, and using my captions wisely and seeing that, oh, this is the information, that this is how I can get there, or this is how she did it. So there's a possibility, you know, of this and this. But yeah, so I think if someone really wants to do it, I think firstly, do not overthink it. Just start. Everyone starts from somewhere. If you're going to start from, you know, one follower and one post, start at it and keep going. But I also think, more than anything, be yourself. So don't, yes, we can always get inspiration from other people and, you know, find ways of maybe how to, ideas of how to sell whatever we're selling, or, you know, or get the message across in a particular way. But I think, you need to be yourself in doing it. And also being this influencer or whatever thing, start with, what you have immediately, because people always think that, oh, how are you able to do it? It's so expensive. People look at my profile and they think, how rich are you? Where is all this money? And I'm like, I do not have it. That's the thing. But it's all about, just starting with what you have. I mean, I don't have like the most expensive equipment and whatever. I've been able, I mean, yes, I have a drone and I have a DSLR camera, but, those are things I've had for a while. I think I've had the same lens. I only have one lens for my camera. You know, and it's the same one I use for everything. And with the drone, I've had it for about 3 years now. So I'm trying to make that, you know, it lasts for as long as I can. So I'm not always looking for the most expensive equipment, but also there are a lot of decent phones these days to start off with your phones. And I really just think, yeah, if you want to, you know, get into the industry, I mean, I think me starting off, I didn't really think I'd see myself as a person that, you know, is in the industry like I am right now. I just started sharing. So I think those things obviously take, go with time rather, and also go with consistency. So just be consistent with what you're sharing, and yeah, be, as, you know, authentic as yourself as possible. And yeah, don't overthink it. You know, yeah, don't overthink it. Just do it. And the right people are always watching. You know, the message will get across to the people that it's meant to get across, you know, to. And yeah, do that. And also, you know, start having these conversations with people that are interested in the same things that you're interested in. In that way, they can obviously, help with just giving you a bit of advice for things, or just, how they were able to start off. But yeah, I think that's the advice I'd give someone who's looking to be a content creator or travel influencer.
I love that. Thank you. And I guess just do your thing. Do you, like you have said, just do you. Don't compare yourself to other people. We're all different, and you don't know how those people started. Just start with what you've got. Like
exactly. And it's never a competition. Like travel is not a competition, or being a content creator, it's not about that. It's about sharing the information. We all should want everyone, you know, to win. We should all be encouraging each other to do better, and, you know, sharing each other's posts or whatever. Just it's more of being a part of a community rather than stepping on each other to get to the top. Because what is the top? That's the thing. Like this top that you really want to get to, where is it? Like what's going to happen when you're there? And yeah, how do you know that you're there? So just keep doing. Yeah. So just keep doing what you're doing, and don't overthink it.
Awesome. Yeah. No, thank you so much for that. So you have a travel planning service that you also offer. Tell us a bit about that and how it works.
Okay. So yeah, I have a travel planning service, and I also create, I host group trips. So with the travel planning, it's basically, I kind of separated it from travel planning as mainly for someone who firstly, they want to travel somewhere. So, and that's specific, that's the place or the location rather is dependent on the person. You know, so a person will come to me and they'll be like, oh, I want to go to, for instance, I don't know, Cape Town for 5 days and this is my budget. So I basically need, you know, the location or the type of experience that they want, the budget that, you know, we're playing around with. And then I will be able, then what I do is I, formulate or compile, what is this? An itinerary. So it, a detailed itinerary of, you know, so now accommodation, what you can do, the activities that, that are offered and what you can do and plan that out for them to, that best suits, of course, the person and how many, their budget, the, how many people they're traveling with and everything. So, with, after I've compiled that, then, obviously I share it with them and for that, what is this, service, it's, 2000 rand. So I charge basically 2000 rand to just, compile that and give you, to put together. Cause I feel at times, people will want to go to a place, but don't know where to start. So, because, I've been on a lot of trips and for me, it's second nature to just know what to do and know how to find the information. So in order to then help someone to take the load off of planning a trip. So you kind of then get, you know, a trip basically planned for you with the itinerary. All you have to do is, pack and go.
It's so cool. Do you then make the bookings for them if the person likes the itinerary or do they then make their own bookings?
They make their own bookings. Okay, so I would then, details. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I don't do the bookings. I give them the details, but I would then, liaise with the accommodation, you know, that they speak, that they are interested in, in a booking and we'd go about it that way. But in terms of the bookings, they would do it themselves.
This is so cool. I'm going to send all these people that send me DMs saying I must suggest things for, I'm going to send them to you. They must pay you so you can help them with this because I really don't have the time.
Yes, please.
That is awesome. That is so, so cool. And we get hold of you. I saw on your Instagram profile, Dineo_Zonke, you do have your email address there and your website. And, I mean, you're very quick with even DMs. Your DMs are open for people to, you know, just pop you a question if they've got, you know, something they want to ask. So this travel planning service, I actually like that it's not just limited to Mpumalanga, but it's wherever you want to go, hit Dineo up.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So any last thing, is there anything about Mpumalanga that you want to say that I did not ask you about?
Not at all, but I think, what I would want to say is, because we spoke about the travel planning. So what I'd want to say now is I also host, group trips.
Group trips.
So So in December, I had a group trip to the province, to Mpumalanga. So I had a group of 8 people that came to explore it with me. So and now I've just, put out a hike that I'll have in the Drakensberg, in
and I saw it was sold out like so quickly.
Yes, I was so surprised. It was so good. And it's actually a group of, black women. Yay. So I'm actually very excited about it. Yeah. So I'm excited with, you know, the type of, the group that I'll have. And I think it will be a very awesome experience because, I've been wanting to just do something like that. And then there'll also be, upcoming, I think hopefully, in the next few days, I'll announce another Mpumalanga, group trip that I'll host, which will be in April, but there'll be much more group trips and it won't only be, within Mpumalanga itself. It will be, other destinations. And it's, because I enjoy adventure travel, it will mainly be, there'll be a part of, adventure to it. So, it's not only relaxation. It's, getting out there, getting sweaty, doing the actual activities out there.
I love it. Awesome. So thank you so much for that. I think, and all the information is on your Instagram for people who are interested. I mean, you always post the stuff there. I think, I like to do the Chica travel group trips once a year. And I kind of been unsure about planning one now because of, COVID. I'm not sure should I wait a bit or not? So I think when I'm ready and we want to do Mpumalanga, so you will be our person to go with us to all these places. Just don't make me hike but
what you need to hike, Lelo?
I can do but my 5-6 kilometers years, but when I think you are extreme,
but okay, I will see. We'll see what you can do.
But definitely take us to Lisbon Falls. I think we'd love to go to Lisbon Falls.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. So thank you so much, Dineo, for making the time. I really appreciate everything that you shared here. I think people are going to love the information. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, this is awesome chatting to you. And yeah, thanks so much, you know, just for the opportunity to be on your podcast and yeah, to share my love for travel and just, yeah, speak with you. It's been awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We'll see you on social media.
Sure.
Thank you, Dineo.
Sure, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We will catch up again next week. But in the meantime, if you listen on Apple, please leave a review and comment. It helps other people find the podcast as well if you do that. So I appreciate that very much. And also you can find us on social media @ChicaTravelPod, #ChicaTravelPod. Until next week, goodbye.